The Natural Nurse with Ellen Kamai and Dr. Z, Mondays at 1 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Much. This is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse at www.naturalnurse.com or also Facebook, The Natural Nurse, and you can find out more anytime. And so happy to be a part of Progressive Radio Network, Progressive Radio Network and our show, The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And one great thing about Progressive Radio Network is that you can tune in any time, day or night. You can listen live every Monday, 1 to 2 p.m. right here, as you are joining us now, or any time by visiting our archives, and you can catch all the great shows there that Progressive Radio Network provides on cutting-edge information that you need to know to survive and prosper in today's world. Today, we are very happy to have as our guest Dr. Cheatham. And Dr. Philippa Cheatham is a medical doctor, board certified in urology. She is a urological surgeon at the Department of Uro-Oncology at Columbia University Medical Center. And she is also involved with the Center for Holistic Urology. Dr. Cheatham has a very long list of honors, including graduating from the University of Bristol Medical School in the UK, receiving the gold medal as the most distinguished medical student, and a five-year general surgical training program at the John Radcliffe University Hospital. So she is very, very well-versed in conventional medicine, and is a prestigious academic research fellow from the Royal College of Surgeons of England. So we are so happy to have her as our guest today. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Cheatham.
Thank you very much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure to be on the show.
Now, I always believe in coincidences, and I actually believe the word coincidence is about two different incidences that are actually connected. And so I met you at a conference that I was lecturing at, and shortly thereafter, someone contacted me to see if you would like to be on the radio show with me. So those two things coming together made this happen, and I'm so happy that it did.
Thank you very much.
Now, the first thing I would like to know is you obviously are a highly trained conventional physician. So what made you look at integrative medicine?
You know, it's a very interesting story. I used to be a real skeptic about holistics and supplements and the role of vitamins and diet in the management of patients. And when I was practicing, it's 20 years now since I went to medical school, and this was very poorly discussed at medical school. We very rarely had any lectures addressing diet and lifestyle and the importance of holistic medicine. And so I was always very negative about discussing this with patients, and often would be embarrassed that patients would come in and say, what do you think about this supplement? What do you think about that? And I just did not know, and I was embarrassed that I couldn't counsel my patients about the benefits. And over 10 years ago, I published a paper in a journal called Prostate Cancer and Prostatic Diseases, warning patients about some of the dangers of these herbal products. Some of them can cause thinning of the blood, which is obviously a concern if you want to biopsy a patient. And the regulations for these natural products can be very poor. And so patients may take things that they think are completely safe because they're natural products. But, you know, I was seeing natural products on the shelves in other countries in the world that contain very dangerous things like arsenic. So initially I was very skeptical about it. And then 3 years ago I came to New York to work at Columbia University Medical Center with Professor Aaron Katz, who is the director for the Center for Holistic Urology. And he has basically spent the last 20 years of his life practicing urology, but also talking to patients about what is evidence-based for prostate cancer prevention and for men that have been diagnosed with prostate cancer. And through working with him, I suddenly realized that, you know, there really are some very beneficial effects of taking natural products in those products that have been properly researched and properly investigated and where there's good evidence based. And so through him, I was able to learn a lot about what was fact, not just in terms of what was going on in the laboratory in rats, but also what products had good human clinical trials to support their use in patients with prostate cancer. So I've come full circle 360 degrees, and I've learned a huge amount from him and now feel very competent to discuss these with my patients.
Yes, you did go through changes. That was an interesting story. My story is the opposite. I have always done holistic medicine since 1964. And after that, I got my medical training. But I've always used holistic medicine as a first line of intervention, basically for evidence-based reasons, where we see so often that it's a better choice in terms of a lower adverse event profile.
That's right.
But it certainly doesn't offset the need for all the wonderful life-saving interventions that are available through conventional medicine. So I think they work beautifully together on a continuum.
Absolutely. And, you know, working and practicing in New York, you know, patients are very proactive and they come asking you all these questions. So in the end, I thought, you know, it's going to pay for me to understand this and to educate myself in order to be able to educate my patients. And I've seen some tremendous health benefits. And I think certainly the patients that I'm seeing who have prostate cancer, they feel very overwhelmed when they're diagnosed. And there's a real sense of a loss of control. And so it's very positive to be able to say, look, you really can help me treat your disease and get you into remission by addressing diet and lifestyle. And so it gives them the sense that they're taking control of their disease as well. And I think that's very important in patients who've been diagnosed with cancer.
Well, that's a beautiful statement that you just made, Dr. Cheatham, because I think many physicians can learn from that. You know, a physician is a person, and as brilliant as you are and as many accolades as you have earned, rightfully so, through your work, it doesn't mean you can't learn more.
That's right. And I think in medicine, you know, we never stop learning. And, we ran a prostate health seminar this weekend at Columbia University Medical Center for men with prostate cancer. And there were some phenomenal guest speakers there from all over the world. And I sat and listened to the other speakers. And, you know, it was a phenomenal learning experience for me as well.
Now, there is an organization called integrativeurology.org. And I think that's important for people to know about. Can they find you through that and other urologists who are more educated in all of these evidence-based approaches?
Yes. So the Society of Integrative Urology was a charity that Dr. Katz and I formed last year. And the idea of forming this charity really was to educate patients as well as doctors, family physicians, and community urologists about the evidence base for practicing holistic urology. And in May of this year, I went to the American Urological Association annual conference in Washington, D.C., and was lecturing to 14,000 urologists about the evidence base for some of these natural products. And on the website, our integrativeurology.org, there is some information there. And what we would like to do, one of the main reasons why I went to D.C., was that we want to basically get a database together across the United States of doctors who are interested in talking to patients about holistic urology. And so that if a patient is, say, living in Ohio, they can type in their zip code and it will come up with a doctor who has an interest in holistic urology. Because what happens so often is that patients will go and see their urologist and they will say, well, you know, this is completely crazy, I don't believe in it, or they're just not fully educated themselves to be able to discuss the evidence base for the questions that the patients have. And that's what we're hoping to do. At the moment, we're still on a very much a fact-finding mission to find out where these doctors are. And obviously, having an interest does not necessarily mean that these doctors have the knowledge at their fingertips. So we want to help give them that information and support patients with the evidence from good human clinical trials.
Now, you yourself, as you openly shared with us, until really very recently, you're talking about, you know, much less than a decade ago, you yourself was quite, you were resistant.
That's
to
right.
Learn and incorporating these natural things. And so that's perfect for you to be a spokesperson to other physicians that may feel that same resistance.
Well, I mean, that was what was so interesting about the seminar that we were running this weekend. A lot of my colleagues who've trained for many years in conventional surgery and urology were like, do you really believe in this? And I said, well, look at the evidence. And I think them knowing how skeptical I was in the beginning, I've said, you know, I have seen numerous patients over the last 3 or 4 years who've had a tremendous result with a reduction in their PSA. I've seen men with precancerous changes in their prostate biopsy that have vanished on a very aggressive holistic protocol. What's very interesting about the patients who come to me, when we talk about active holistic surveillance for prostate cancer, the guy comes in, you know, they're often eating a very bad diet through work. They may be going out for very rich business meals. They're eating a lot of red meat, very few fresh vegetables. You know, they're eating a lot of processed food, fried food, sugars. And what's amazing is that the first 3 months on the correct diet, the patients feel better. The second 3 months, they actually look better. And I keep teasing Dr. Katz and say that we should actually publish a paper about the third 3 month slot, because these guys come in and they dress better because they feel younger, they look younger, they lose the beer belly, and, you know, they just feel so much more energized because they've increased all the antioxidants in their diet. And it's a very positive thing to take a patient who's been diagnosed with prostate cancer, and then 9 months down the line, they come in and they look 10 years younger than they did when they first started coming to see me. And, you know, when the patient starts to feel those benefits, then it gives them that real boost, that incentive to say, look, this diet really is helping me. And then when you can show them their PSA results that have dramatically reduced, then, you know, the evidence is there. There's absolutely no question about it.
Isn't it great? I'll tell you, Dr. Cheatham, that's what I love most about holistic medicine and have since I've been doing it, and like I said, that's since 1964, is seeing people get better. It seems so often with just conventional treatment, and of course a conventional lifestyle and an SAD, which means Standard American Diet, which is pretty close in Britain as well. I've been there. People don't really get totally well. You might be able to manage symptoms. You might be able to change measurement numbers. But I haven't usually seen them flourish the way you're talking about with conventional-only interventions.
You know, and the other side to this is that, you know, I think that as doctors, we owe it to ourselves to take a full history from the patient. And when we're asking patients about what medications they're taking, it's so common for doctors not to ask patients whether they're taking vitamins or supplements or herbal products. And certainly in my practice, I'm a surgeon, and it's very important to know whether people are taking these supplements that can affect blood clotting. And if you don't ask, you may end up biopsying a patient who is taking, you know, large doses of vitamin C, vitamin E, and we would ask patients to stop these temporarily if we were doing a biopsy. And the same for patients who are undergoing radiation treatment. We often temporarily withhold the supplements that have the antioxidant effect. So I think it's very important that we know what patients are taking, and they're not the conventional doctors to bury their head in the sand and think, well, you know, they must all be safe, because, you know, everything, it may be safe in moderation, but very high doses of these supplements and vitamins can also be dangerous. So that's the other side of the coin.
That's so true, and that's why training physicians to be more open to it is so important, because don't you find that patients will often hide the use of supplements from physicians because they fear, like, being reprimanded?
Absolutely, and that was much more the case in the UK, where supplements and vitamins were used far less frequently. They were very concerned that their doctor would think that this was crazy and that they would be alienated. I think certainly in Manhattan, New York, people are much more, they're much more knowledgeable of this, and it's so much more common for patients to be taking these things. But, you know, I do think that education is key, both for patients and for doctors. And I think that, you know, if patients are frightened to explain to doctors what they're taking, then they're more likely to be at risk from buying things from unreputable companies where there's not good clinical trials, or where the other constituents may not be properly regulated. You know, I've certainly had patients come in with bottles that contain other ingredients which are not safe, and at least if you know what the patients are taking, you can give them the advice. I mean, I actually saw a gentleman at the weekend who was taking 20,000 international units of vitamin D per day, and his levels were excessive. And I said, look, you're at risk of getting kidney stones and harming your kidneys, and we know that vitamin D is great for bone health and for immune health, and I encourage my patients to take 5,000 international units per day, which may sound very high, but we know that's a completely safe level. But if you're taking 20,000 international units a day, then that's not a good idea, especially if your levels have not been measured and you're not being monitored. So that just proves that something as simple as a vitamin in high doses is also not necessarily a good thing.
That's so true, Dr. Cheatham. And also, I know of a case recently where a woman who found out she was in early pregnancy was taking excessively high vitamin A, because she was taking one vitamin A supplement that was high already. But then, you know, people have to look at every single bottle they're taking, because sometimes each one of those has an additional amount, and you really get into excessive numbers.
That's right. That's right. And I think it's also confusing for patients, is that they often get very conflicting advice. You know, if they see one doctor and he says, oh, yes, I would recommend you take that, and then the next doctor says, oh, no, I don't see any benefit for that, then it's no wonder the poor patients get confused and don't know, you know, where to turn, you know.
That's so true. Well, we're just going to take a little break right here on Progressive Radio Network, and we're going to reintroduce you, and also when we come back where people can find you. I know there's holisticurology.columbia.edu and any other website you'd like to give out, and we will be right back.
Thank
with
you very
more.
Much. Thank you.
Right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z on Progressive Radio Network.
Radio Network, your home for progressive thinkers.
This is Adam Coulter with Brooklyn Jazz Underground Radio. We'll be here every Tuesday from 5 to 6 with great music, interviews, and live performances. Right here on PRN, the Progressive Radio Network. Again, that's Tuesdays from 5 to 6, or you can listen anytime at the archives at progressiveradionetwork.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dr. Len Saputo.
And I'm registered nurse Vicki Saputo. We're proud to announce that the Progressive Radio Network will be bringing you our live call-in talk show, Prescriptions for Health, every Monday afternoon starting June the 6th from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Mark your calendars and save up your questions so you can ask us about possible strategies for your health problems, whether mainstream or complementary and alternative.
We also invite your questions and comments about any area of health care, including politics, economics, ethics, philosophy, and styles of health care.
So remember to tune in every Monday from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to the Progressive Radio Network's Prescriptions for Health show.
Philosophy Talk is changing to a new time every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Ken Taylor and John Perry discuss both contemporary and classical philosophical theories and apply it to problems we face every day with a lighthearted and laugh-out-loud approach. Philosophy Talk every Wednesday at 10 a.m. on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com.
Hello, this is Sandra B. Tay from Success Power Talk. You can listen live to me every Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the very best success strategies for your life, bringing you sumptuous, exciting topics, expert guests, and panelists from all over. You will not want to miss. Email me at coach@tateworks.com if you have questions you want read on the air. If you missed any past shows, go to progressiveradionetwork.com/archives to find them. Always take the best and leave the rest. Success Power Talks every Saturday, 4 p.m. on Progressive Radio Network.
Listening to the Progressive Radio Network, a station that doesn't rest until you're informed. Thanks for listening.
Hello, thank you again for coming back once again right here at Progressive Radio Network. This is your host, Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse, and you can find me at naturalnurse.com or at Facebook, the Natural Nurse, and we have lots of information. You can sign up for a weekly newsletter with great articles or get in touch. Join us on our many trips. We do a trip to Chinatown. We do a trip to the island of Jamaica where we actually live with shamans for a week, and all kinds of outside herbal identification programs that you may want to join in with us in person. And today we have as our guest Dr. Philippa Cheatham, and Dr. Cheatham is a board-certified urological surgeon at the Department of Uro-Oncology at Columbia University Medical Center. And this show, we've been talking to Dr. Cheatham about her very in-depth interest in not only the finest quality of conventional urological interventions, but also bringing on board things that she has researched and found to be evidence-based integrative therapies, including things like herbs and nutritional supplements and acupuncture, but of course, beginning with food. And thank you so much for being with us today, Dr. Cheatham.
Thank you very much again for the opportunity.
Now, we talked about the Center for Holistic Urology. What natural treatment options does someone diagnosed with, let's say, prostate cancer or, you know what, even benign prosthetic hyperplasia, because, of course, that's less worrisome than prostate cancer. But what other treatment options may someone have?
Well, Dr. Katz and I see a huge number of patients with prostate cancer, and that's really our subspecialty interest. And we see patients both with early-stage prostate cancer, and I work with oncologist Dr. Daniel Petrelak at Columbia University Medical Center, and we see patients together in a joint clinic twice a week. So we see the whole spectrum, and sometimes we even see people who've not been diagnosed with prostate cancer, but they do have a very strong family history, or they may be in a high-risk category, such as black men. We know they get prostate cancer earlier and a more aggressive form. So the kind of advice that we give patients, obviously it's a very much a tailor-made advice sheet that we give them, but the general tips that we give men with prostate cancer is that we try and tell them to cut out all the bad things in your diet that can drive prostate cancer cell growth. And there are many foods that can prevent prostate cancer cell growth. So just to give you a flavor of the advice that we would give patients, the bad things in your diet that we would want patients to eliminate are, number one would be red meats. We know that if red meat is bad news if you have prostate cancer. It drives prostate cancer cell growth. And we know that saturated fats are bad news as well. And we know that if you're on a low-fat diet, you have lower levels of a hormone called IGF-1. And it's this dietary fat, the IGF-1, which is bad news in men with prostate cancer. So I tell patients, try and eliminate red meat from your diet. Try and cut down on processed foods, fried foods, fatty foods. We try and advise patients to change from drinking cow milk to soy milk. And most importantly, we try and encourage them to increase the amount of the cruciferous vegetables in your diet. So that would be the curly kale, the spinach, the cauliflower, the broccoli. All of these things are very rich in antioxidants, as is Japanese green tea. Now, the good news, if you like drinking red wine, is that red wine, the Pinot Noir, is rich in resveratrol, and resveratrol is prostate cancer protective. So you can drink red wine, Pinot Noir. You can take Japanese green tea if you're a teetotaler. And we know that pomegranate juice is very good for preventing prostate cancer cell growth. The problem with pomegranate juice is that it's very rich in sugar, and many patients that I see are diabetic. So we actually have those patients take a supplement called Lycopom, which is a combination of lycopene, the active ingredient in tomatoes, that's prostate cancer protective, and the POM is the pomegranate extract, so very high concentrations of lycopene and pomegranate in this pill called Lycopom. You can also actually get a broccoli seed extract called Brocco Protect, which will give you some very high concentrations of the active ingredient. So rather than eating, you know, 100 broccoli spears a day, you can actually get your concentrations there.
You know, wow, that was great. And, of course, everything you're talking about, Dr. Cheatham, would lead to a decreased state of inflammation.
Absolutely.
So not only is it going to have a very positive effect on cancer and all the evidence-based research that you're sharing with us that has been done on showing the preventative effects, but also every other disease. So you're just doing yourself all kinds of good on every level.
And many patients find that you know, that you made a very key point there, mentioning about inflammation. We know that inflammation leads to cancer. And two products that we recommend patients would take to try and address these issues of inflammation and boost their immune system. The first one is called Zyflamend. That's Zyflamend. And Zyflamend is a combination natural product that contains things like holy basil, oregano, ginger, green tea, some of the resveratrol. And this helps reduce inflammation. We've seen some dramatic results in the laboratory with the reversal of the precancerous changes in the prostate called PIN. And this can help enhance detoxification. And another product that we're using a lot of is something called AHCC. An AHCC, which stands for Active Hexose Correlated Compound, this is something that I'd never heard of until I worked with Dr. Katz.
Slow down 1 minute, Dr. Cheatham, because you have such a tremendous amount of information, and it's all excellent, because this particular thing you're talking about here, AHCC, Active Hexose Correlated Compound, I want you to go over a little bit more in depth and a little bit more slowly for our listeners, because just like you had never heard of it, I imagine many of them may not have either.
Absolutely. And, you know, when I was at this conference in Washington a few weeks ago, most of my colleagues had not heard of AHCC, so it was a phenomenal education experience for me to talk to them about that. So AHCC is completely natural. You do not require a prescription to take this. This product is derived from the mycelium, the roots of a Japanese mushroom that's processed in Sapporo, Japan. And essentially, in a nutshell, this is what I tell my patients is a natural immune enhancer. And without giving you a full lecture about immunology, AHCC really helps to strengthen the immune system. And it does this in a number of ways. AHCC works by increasing the number of the cells in the immune system that can help really fight disease and fight cancer. So these cells are things like macrophages, the cytokines. There are cells called natural killer cells, and we know that AHCC can increase not only the number of these cells that fight infection and fight cancer, but also the effectiveness of these cells. There are other cells, you may have heard of T cells, and T cells are very much a part of the immune system. And AHCC can significantly increase the number of T cells that help strengthen the immune system. So if you're diagnosed with breast cancer or prostate cancer, and we can really help boost your immune system with a natural product, AHCC is completely safe. There's no interaction with any other conventional medications, and it comes in a tablet form. And this can really help patients who have not just early stage disease, but some of the studies have been in men with metastatic prostate cancer. That's advanced prostate cancer that's spread to the bone. And we've had some very, very good results with this product called AHCC.
Now, once someone's in a more advanced stage, certainly they're going to be taking other pharmaceutical agents as well. And yet you didn't find any kind of interaction that would be worrisome?
No, and there's been, you know, an extensive number of studies that have been published looking at the role of AHCC and also reporting on the very low side effect profile of patients who are taking this natural product.
Well, that's great research that you have. Now, let me ask you about some of the other activities that are going on at the Center for Holistic Urology. What is Columbia's active holistic surveillance regimen?
So the active holistic surveillance, the emphasis really is on the word holistic. Active surveillance is when a man is diagnosed with prostate cancer that may not necessarily need treatment in terms of surgery or radiation. These are men who have low-grade, low-volume disease, and they've had a biopsy because the prostate, the PSA blood test was raised, and they were found to have prostate cancer, but not an aggressive enough form that required surgery or radiation. And these men we can treat by what's called active surveillance, where we don't actually do any active treatment in terms of surgery or radiation or hormones, but we monitor the patient's PSA blood test every 3 months, and we may do biopsies at intervals such as every 6 to 12 months. And that is very well recognized in urological practice. What is different about our practice is that we emphasize the word holistic. So we have an active holistic surveillance program where we address all these diet and lifestyle issues to try and help keep patients' disease in remission. And so the kind of things that I've already mentioned, cutting out red meats, increasing the fresh vegetables, reducing dairy, changing whole wheat pasta, taking whole wheat pasta instead of white pasta, taking the red wine for the resveratrol, adding in the AHCC, encouraging men to take 5,000 international units of vitamin D per day, and all these other supplements such as the BroccoProtect and the Zyflamend. So we're monitoring these men very closely on the standard active surveillance, PSA every 3 months, a rectal exam, a visit to the urology practice, but we're being very, very aggressive addressing their dietary issues as well.
So that would be the perfect time to look at the changes that, you know, stopping progression, for instance.
And there's no better incentive for men to say, look, if you take action now and do these things that we're advising you to do, you may prevent the need for surgery. You may delay the need to go on hormone therapy. You may never need hormone therapy. And unfortunately, although the management of prostate cancer has come a long way in the last 10 years, and many treatments are entirely curative, and we're seeing men with earlier and earlier disease, unfortunately, cure is no longer really the issue. The issue is the side effects from the treatments, the quality of life issue. So surgery and radiation and hormone therapy all come with quality of life side effects, such as urinary incontinence and sexual dysfunction. And these men are often very miserable after treatment. So the last thing you want is to undergo major surgery or radiation if your disease can be put into remission by addressing simple things in your diet and your lifestyle.
And that is a perfect time to initiate these dietary and lifestyle changes.
And as I've already said, it also has effects for your general health. So this is not just a prostate protective diet, but it's a very much a heart healthy diet as well. And so many men actually are getting the benefits for their cardiovascular health as well as their prostate health.
And we see that often, for instance, with many different diets that are put for specific illnesses, when they're anti-inflammatory, they help everything.
That's right.
Now, I did want to ask you about what you have noticed about different races of men that have a different propensity towards developing prostate issues.
That's right. I mean, black men have a increased risk of prostate cancer. There are very well-reported racial differences in prostate cancer. And we know that when black men develop prostate cancer, they often develop it at a younger age. They develop it in a more aggressive form. And if they've had treatment for prostate cancer, they are at increased risk of relapse. And there are people in the field who've worked extensively looking at the differences in the molecular biology between black and white men. But with these people, there can be, certainly in the Caribbean countries, there can be a stigma in going to see a urologist and having their prostate examined, the digital rectal exam, and they can actually be a difficult group to target. So what we've tried to do through the Center for Holistic Urology is educate the black community about the importance of prostate cancer screening and seeing a urologist early. And sadly, many of the men that I see who present with advanced prostate cancer are often the black men that have not been for screening. And if you have a first-degree relative with prostate cancer, a father or a brother, then you are at increased risk and you should be screened earlier than somebody who does not have a family history.
I also always wonder at the dietary and lifestyle components in racial changes in various kinds of disease rates, because perhaps you're familiar with a group of black men who left Chicago 30 years ago, and they were the Black Zionists.
Yeah.
And they adopted basically a vegetarian lifestyle, no salt, and they were followed by a physician. Because I was actually part of the traditional medical group at Columbia University, and by traditional we meant traditional medicine such as Chinese medicine and Tibetan medicine. And what they found was that group of men, even though they had genetic relatives and even brothers and sisters and I think twins who did have a higher rate of these kinds of illnesses, the people who had stayed on that healthy lifestyle long term did not develop them at the same rate.
That's right, and I am aware of that study, and there are plenty of studies that have shown in populations where prostate cancer risk is very low, so in the Japanese populations, if those Japanese men move away from Japan and they move to America, then their risk of prostate cancer increases, and there is no doubt at all that there is a very, very strong environmental component to the development of prostate cancer. And I say to my patients, look, you get prostate cancer for two reasons. One is your genetics, which you cannot change, and the other are the environmental risk factors, which you definitely can change. So I think it's, you know, very interesting to for patients to be aware that it's never too late to address these issues. And even people who've had prostate cancer and have had surgery, we're very, very passionate at preventing them from developing a recurrence, especially if they've had high-grade disease. So even if you've had an intervention, then you can still address these dietary changes to make sure that your prostate cancer does not come back.
That's such good advice. Now, Dr. Cheatham, what would your recommendation be? Should every single person get screened, you know, especially gentlemen, since we're talking
about prostate? Sure. Well, I always say to patients there's no such thing as a silly question, and I hope this is not a silly statement, but women do not have a prostate, and I still have patients asking if their female partners should be screened. So prostate cancer only affects men, and that's the first thing to say. Now, the American Cancer Society recommends that we screen people from the age of 50 and above, and that age is actually dropping, and we're starting to screen people at younger ages now. But if you have a strong family history of prostate cancer, so if your father or brother has had prostate cancer, or if you are a black man, then you're at increased risk of prostate cancer, we would want to screen you at a younger age. Now, many of the patients I see are having a PSA blood test as part of their routine annual medical. And the important thing to stress is that the PSA is only part of the screening process, and we would examine the prostate with a digital rectal examination. And I believe that that should be done by a urologist. I wouldn't dream of a urologist giving a patient a cardiac consult. So I think it's important that the digital rectal exam, the prostate exam, is done by a specialist, and that would be a urologist. So I would recommend that most men should see a urologist every 6 to 12 months for the digital rectal examination and a PSA blood test.
Now, I know some of my patients have told me that they're very confused about PSA because it seems like the numbers are changing in terms of what might be worrisome.
That's right. And sometimes, PSA stands for prostate-specific antigen, but we often say it stands for patient-stimulated anxiety or even physician-stimulated anxiety. And the problem with PSA is that PSA comes from the prostate, but it is not specific to prostate cancer. So if you have an elevated PSA, it does not mean you necessarily have prostate cancer, because other things can cause a rise in the PSA, such as a urine infection, if you've had a recent instrumentation of the bladder, if you've had a cystoscopy where the doctor looks inside at the bladder, then that can cause a rise in PSA. If you've had a colonoscopy, that can cause a rise in PSA. Even recent sexual intercourse within 24 or 48 hours of the blood test will give you an elevated PSA. And if you were bicycling around Central Park and I measured your PSA blood test 2 hours after that, then your PSA would be up because the prostate is massaged. So people panic and they think that a rise in PSA equals prostate cancer, which is not true. Obviously, prostate cancer is what we want to exclude, but it can cause as much anxiety as it allays in men who have a PSA blood test. The other thing to say is there are age-specific ranges. So for all comers, people say that a PSA of less than 4 is normal. But we know that many men who are in their 70s, 80s, and 90s have a PSA that's much higher than 4, but that's completely normal because the PSA in your 80s is classified as being normal if it's under 7.5. The converse is true. If you're a young man, if you're under the age of 50, then even a PSA above 2.5 would be considered abnormal. So sometimes doctors and patients are lulled into a false sense of security when the PSA is less than 4. But, you need to look at your age-specific range, and you need to look at when your PSA was done and what may be the cause other than prostate cancer if the blood test is elevated.
Well, that was great information and can certainly make a lot of people not be so worried about just a change in the number. But I would say that everyone who listens to your show would be motivated to actually come to the center and get really great professional care, whatever level. So you're using a spectrum of interventions evidence-based interventions, everything from eating better and very specifically, not just saying eating better, but laying out an excellent diet to the use of specific nutritional supplements all the way to the more aggressive kinds of interventions that may be needed in particular cases. So can you please give us the best way to get in touch with you and your center, Dr. Cheatham?
I would say the best way to get in touch with us is I have my own radio show on WABC Radio every week with Dr. Katz. It's called Katz's Corner. And we have a Facebook page called Katz's Corner Radio Show. So if any of the listeners search for Katz's Corner Radio Show, they will be able to come onto our Facebook page and ask me specific questions, and they can contact me and I can give them more information. Also, if they want to contact me, they can call Columbia University Medical Center on 212-305-1731.
Well, thank you so much for a wonderful interview that really gave people a lot of great information, and thank you for your continued research.
Thank you for the opportunity. I very much appreciate it.
And listeners, we'd like you to know that you can find us anytime at naturalnurse.com or Facebook The Natural Nurse, and you can always listen to the archives of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z and all other wonderful shows presented right here on Progressive Radio Network. Until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse, hoping that you stay healthy.